Today is the feast of Christ the King. It's the final Sunday of our church calendar year. Next Sunday will be the beginning of a new church calendar year with the first Sunday of Advent. Our calendar is a little different than the calendar we live in our day-to-day lives, but today is the final Sunday, and it's called the Feast of Christ the King. And you could say to yourself, well, if there's a king, there must be a kingdom. And that's the thing we're invited to reflect upon today. What is this kingdom about that we're celebrating? The gospel reading that we've just heard is a powerful image. Many of you may have seen this image of what is oftentimes referred to as the judgment, this mythical story of the last judgment, and have images of this in your mind. Jesus was somebody who lived at his time and his culture, and at that time, there was very much what is referred to, here's a word you can use later, an eschatological sense of the world, the sense of the end time was coming. And Jesus, many scripture scholars will suggest that Jesus really was a prophet in the eschatological tradition, an eschatological prophet. So he was shaped by that, and so was the early church, this sense of time is arriving and perhaps coming to a close. And so the shape of the stories and the shape of the myth that they tell are taken from the culture around them, and they try to bring this into the Christian tradition. When we think of this idea of the last judgment, this image that's given to us, sometimes I think we can become so dominated by some artwork that has depicted the last judgment. Have you seen paintings of last judgment scenes? Usually it's depicted some way of God is there, and either there's people to the left, people to the right. You know, there's the people who are sort of going to heaven and those who are going to hell. Or some paintings have people above and people below. All different ways that artists have depicted this scene from the Christian tradition. The most well-known is probably Michelangelo's painting of the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican. It's this picture of God sitting there, and down below are the people who are going to hell, and up above the people entering into heaven. It's little known that some of the people that are down going into hell, some of the faces, Michelangelo chose some of the cardinals from the Vatican as those faces. They didn't find that to be too humorous, but supposedly the Pope at that time found it very humorous and responded to Michelangelo. But sometimes those paintings and those drawings can create an image that we have that perhaps doesn't invite us to see a little bit more deeply what's perhaps in this story today. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. But I want to put that to the side a second. We'll come back to that. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to gather with our children during a clergy forum in the chapel. Most of our church school program went into the chapel, and the children had questions that they had prepared. And I had received most of the questions ahead of time. And the questions were just incredible. We have a parish of philosophers. When I was in college years ago, it was required to study philosophy in order to go to seminary, and I almost have like a double major. I majored in sociology and almost another major in philosophy. I'd taken one more course. So a lot of philosophy in my educational background. And philosophy is always about, you know, what's the meaning of life and, you know, these deep questions that we pursue. Well, these children ask some pretty perceptive questions. Questions like, you know, where did God come from? And where was God before the world was created? And if Jesus rose from the dead, so where does he live? You know, really, really grappling with their idea of who God is and who Jesus is. And so we began, part of our time together, began to reflect with them upon who Jesus is. And we first talked about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus who walked this earth 2,000 years ago. What do we think Jesus looked like? I suggested to them that Jesus was a person at that time living in the Middle East, probably looked like someone of that time. His complexion, his way of life, his stature, his language, what he ate, what he was about, was very much a person of the Middle Eastern tradition. So often when we see pictures of Jesus today, paintings, renditions of Jesus, oftentimes what the painting is showing us is Jesus looks pretty much like a Northern European or other parts of the world. Very often Jesus is depicted in that way, and perhaps we don't get a fullness of who Jesus, what Jesus looked like at that time. But what and who is Jesus today? What does Jesus look like in our world today? We grappled with that with the children. And I invited the children to do something with me. I'd like to invite you to do it with me. I invited the children to just kind of look around each other. Would you just look around at each other? If you're too embarrassed, don't look at each other in the eye. Just kind of, just look around. Look around. I said to the children, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. When we look at each other and see each other, we are looking into the face of Jesus. We live and experience this new life, this resurrected life. Through baptism, we entered into that life, and we walk that life in our daily lives here. And so we look and we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Let me go back to that gospel reading. It's a enter into the what Jesus is telling in this story. People are coming before God in judgment. And listen to this. I'll pull out the reading to refer to in my hand here. The story is told that there are those like sheep and goats. There are those who are entering into the fullness of the kingdom, and there are those who are not. And notice this. Those who God is inviting into the fullness, into heaven, into eternal life, are these people. Those who did this. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And those who are entering into this fullness of life almost look to God and say, huh? So when did I do that for you? When did that happen? And Jesus makes that reference of when you did that to those in our gospel, is those in my family, those of that I know, when you did that to those around you, you did that for me. And when we live that kind of a life, we're living into the fullness of the kingdom. And when we don't see it that way, when we don't live into it that way, we're just not able to live in kingdom living. We're just not there yet. And I would suggest to you that perhaps rather than looking at this as some sort of a final judgment, that every day in our lives we make decisions, we make choices of whether we can live fully into this kingdom that God offers us. We have our lifetime to walk into that, into the wonder of that kingdom. But notice, those are the criteria for entering into the fullness of life, the fullness of eternal life, the fullness of the kingdom. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Notice in the story, God is not saying to people, okay, do you believe in the Nicene Creed? Do you believe all the teachings of the Catechism? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Think about that a second. That this story is saying it's not about right thinking or right believing. Don't get me wrong. I love the Nicene Creed. It nourishes and feeds me, and I think it has a lifetime of depth to it, the catechism of our church. But what are those things all about? They're about shaping us and forming us for the criteria that really matters. The criteria that God is sharing with us to reach out to each other and transform each other and transform the world. It's not just about thinking correctly or believing correctly. But when you think of all the criteria, all those things, feed the hungry, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, reach out to those around us. So many different people in our world do that. Different religious traditions, people from different places, people from different experiences, even within our own church. You know what I thought about when I was looking over this reading? We may be in heaven with people we don't agree with. How often we think it's all about right thinking and believing exactly the same thing. And if we can't be in relationship with each other. But what Jesus is offering is a much different way, a different lens to look at this. That we can be in disagreement with each other. We may think differently from each other. But can we be about this work that God's called us to do? Can we be about this transformation that we're called to do? And can we live that now? Kingdom living now. Live into the fullness of that. I wish we could so learn that. Continue to learn that in our church. I wish Washington could learn that. It's not about thinking the same way or believing the same way, but it's about being in relationship together and somehow bringing about this wonder. What an incredible kingdom this is we're called to live in. What a wonderful kingdom as we come together and encounter each other in relationship and reach out to each other and transform each other and transform this world. May we as a people, as we gather on this final Sunday of our church year, be a kingdom people, transformed and reaching out to each other and making truly a difference in our world.